For the next half hour, we're going to talk about challenges facing Native American youth and work that's being done to help them. And a note to listeners before we start, the discussion could include mentions and descriptions of some heavy topics, including child abuse, sexual assault, and youth suicide. Now, a single photograph in the newspaper changed the course of one, if not many, lives. Byron Dorgan was reading that newspaper and saw a young Native American girl with a tear on her cheek. The photo accompanied a story about she had been beaten in several different housing situations. She was the face of a problem, a failure of social services on her reservation. Byron Dorgan is a former U.S. senator and congressman who represented North Dakota. His new book about what happened after he saw that newspaper photo is called The Girl in the Photograph, The True Story of a Native American Child Lost and Found in America. Senator Dorgan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon to you.
And also with us is Nikki Petrie, acting executive director of the Center for Native American Youth at the Aspen Institute based in Washington, D.C. Senator Dorgan founded the organization after deciding not to seek re-election. Nikki, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, Senator Dorgan, let's start with you. You tell the story of the girl in the photograph in great detail in the story. I wonder if you could highlight two moments for us, Senator Dorgan, when you saw her photo and then when she reached out to you on social media years later.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw the photograph. It was a Sunday newspaper, top of the fold, color photograph of this beautiful young girl who had been beaten severely in a foster home on an Indian reservation. Her arm, her leg, her nose were broken, hair pulled out at the roots, and then she laid in an empty room for a couple of days with no medical attention. Think of that, at age two. And a couple of years later, they did a story about abuse of children on these foster homes and reservations, and that was her picture that I saw. And I went to meet her and her grandfather on that Indian reservation. She didn't seem like she knew I was there. She was pretty significantly altered and injured as a result of what had happened to her a couple years before. But at any rate, just to tell you, I then lost track of her. I sent her a couple of Christmas gifts to her grandfather, and her grandfather died. I would ask people on that reservation, anybody know whatever happened to that little girl? And no one knew. No one had ever heard of her again. And so that was it. But I kept that photograph in my mind. I had that copy of the newspaper in my desk drawer for many, many years. 27 years later, I got an email from her. And it turns out she was homeless. She had been through hell. I mean, she had just been through so many problems. Homeless in Minneapolis. And she went to a library to use a computer to try to figure out what had happened to her because she had very little memory of her youth. And lo and behold, in her search using the computer at a library, she found a speech that I had given about her in the United States Senate. And I used her name. I told the story of her beating, and I did it in the context of what was happening to Native American youth. And as a result, she reached out to me and sent me an email. And that email, of course, created a whole series of events that I got involved in since. And so that's the story of how I learned about her and how we reconnected.
We'll hear more of that story. Nikki, I want to bring you into the picture now. You are directing the Center for Native American Youth at the Aspen Institute. And something that strikes me looking at the efforts there, Nikki, is this isn't just about providing help to Native American youth. This is about helping Native American youth themselves take the lead in solving problems. Can you talk about the importance of that?
Absolutely. As a young Indigenous professional trying to navigate, this is something that I have grown up knowing my entire life, that we need to better our communities. Everything that we do is for the next generation. And so being able to have the opportunity to work at the Center for Native American Youth, which we are so grateful. I remember being a young professional and hearing about CNAY's creation and everything that Senator Dorgan had done for Indian Country prior, and being able to make sure that Native youth are at the forefront of policy change, of driving positive change in their community, not just saying that we need to be improving lives, but allowing Native youth and giving them the tools that they need to create that positive change is so inspiring. And so just so much gratitude for Senator Dorgan and also for the organization for allowing youth leaders to lead in this space. It's very much needed.
And Senator Dorgan, in the book, The Girl in the Photograph, you you spend a lot of time talking about the challenges and problems facing Native Americans and Native American youth, and we'll get into that some, but you really are careful to say it's not just doom and gloom. Can you highlight some of the bright spots that you share in the book?
No, listen, I've written a book that's pretty heavy and, you know, about a young woman that's been through a lot. She's better now, but you know, I wanted to shine all the spotlights on the same spot, the plight of Native American youth, and that's why I created the Center for Native American Youth at the Aspen Institute. And from that center, we do something called Champions for Change that Nikki's involved with me in, and we find some unbelievably inspiring young Native Americans across the country, and they are our champions for change. They are mentors for other young people. They do unbelievable things. I've written a lot about them in the book, and you know, it's important for people to know. There's a lot left to do, but we do have some people out there, some young people on Indian reservations that are doing extraordinary things. This is an important time, and I would say, you know, there are two great stains on the American conscience, in my judgment. One is slavery, and the second is the way the first Americans, Native Americans, have been treated for over a couple centuries. They were the last people to get the right to vote. They've lived in great poverty, and you know, they just have not been full participants in what America has become. And I think that needs to change.
Talking to Senator Byron Dorgan, a former senator from North Dakota. His new book is called The Girl in the Photograph, The True Story of a Native American Child Lost and Found in America. Also with us, Nikki Petrie, acting executive director of the Center for Native American Youth at the Aspen Institute. Senator Dorgan had founded that organization. Senator Dorgan, before we get back to Nikki to talk some more about the solutions they're working on there, can you lay out some of the problems that Tamara, the girl in the photograph herself, her life was just a microcosm of all these challenges facing, that there are common stories, sadly, for Native Americans on the country. Can you tell us some of what she encountered that she's just one of many examples of, sadly?
I will do that. But first, let me tell you, a man named Joseph Marshall, a historian, Lakota historian, was speaking in Colorado at a conference. And someone in the audience stood up and said to him, "Well, wait a second." And he was waving his arms. "Wait a second. Wasn't this dispute with respect to Native Americans, wasn't this dispute between your ancestors and my ancestors? Why am I held accountable? Why should I be held accountable?" And Joseph Marshall said to the men, "Because you know the story. Because you know the story. And when you know the story of an injustice, you have a responsibility to help change it." So that is such an important concept. Tamara is a young woman who has, you know, all the things that have visited her in a horrific way, the beating, the abuse. It deals with the substance abuse of her parents and abuse she suffered at the hands of many. She's been sexually abused. She has attempted to commit suicide several times. She's had great difficulty in education, and yet she's a very bright woman. She's turned 35. She's in a better place, and I've spent a great deal of time with her and helping her. But, you know, a couple people that she never knew, strangers in her life, I think saved her life in many ways, and I can tell you those stories. But it's a circumstance where I wanted to use her story and the difficulties she has experienced, and she was happy to do that. She said, if telling my story helps other Native American children, I'm really, really happy that we can do that together. So that's what I've done. And her story is a microcosm of almost all the things that have been wrong and the things that need to be made right. And I think we can do it.
Nikki, can you talk about some things that you and the champions that Senator Dorgan mentioned that you work with at the Center for Native American Youth have done to tackle some of these problems that Senator Dorgan just laid out?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sorry, I just get kind of emotional when I think about this, because these are our own people. And something that we do with the Champions for Change is we have what's called Champions Week, where we bring them out to Washington, D.C. We celebrate their accomplishments. We celebrate the positive change you're trying to make. And we do very targeted curriculum training. We teach them about Advocacy 101, how to utilize social media as a platform. We teach them about the power in sharing your personal story. We bring them to Capitol Hill to meet with their senators. And we have a public event where we have Native youth, the Champions for Change, sharing the work that they're doing. And then we also have a reception that kind of celebrates their work and it celebrates the work of the Center for Native American Youth. And so we don't stop there just after Champions for Change Week. We're on the road with them throughout the entire year. We're providing technical assistance to them, connecting them to like-minded organizations to help elevate their work. And then they join our youth advisory board, which very much governs a lot of our programmatic work, along with Senator Dorgan and the board of advisors. And so the Champions for Change Week is just the beginning of a way that we stay engaged with these youth leaders and highlight the powerful work that they're doing to truly transform not just their communities, but society at large.
We're talking to former U.S. Senator from North Dakota, Byron Dorgan, and Nikki Petrie is also with us, acting executive director of the Center for Native American Youth. Senator Dorgan had founded that. It's at the Aspen Institute. We're talking about Senator Dorgan's new book. It's called The Girl in the Photograph, The True Story of a Native American Child Lost and Found in America. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the challenges Native American youth are facing on or off of reservations? Do you have experience yourself as a part of that community or working with that community? Do you have a question for Senator Dorgan about what happens, how this all works at the congressional level, at the federal government level? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with former U.S. Senator from North Dakota, Byron Dorgan, and Nikki Petrie, acting executive director of the Center for Native American Youth. We're talking about Senator Dorgan's new book, The Girl in the Photograph, The True Story of a Native American Child Lost and Found in America. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Senator Dorgan's book highlights challenges, tragedies in some cases facing Native American youth, and opportunities, bright spots, people taking the lead through the Center for Native American Youth and elsewhere. If you have an experience in that story yourself, please call in at 800-642-1234. Senator Dorgan, in the book, you talk about problems like underfunded healthcare systems for Native Americans, underfunded educational systems. Now, inspired by Tamara and others, when you took these issues to the Senate floor, did your colleagues listen?
Well, not all of them listened, for sure. I mean, much of what exists there, particularly with respect to Indian health, is dramatically underfunded. It's estimated that only about 50% of the funds that are needed to provide for health care for Native Americans, only about 50% is available. You know, we have the federal government has promised Native Americans they would provide for their health care. That's in treaties. It's in writing. It's, you know, it's a promise that was made and a long, long time ago, but it's a promise never kept. And we also have a responsibility to provide health care for federal prisoners. We run the federal prison and the federal government. But, you know, you spend almost twice as much on health care for federal prisoners per person as they do for Native Americans. I mean, that's just shameful. But I did want to say to you that a couple of the things that we work on, especially at the Center for Native American Youth, is teen suicide prevention on Indian reservations. There's too much teen suicide clusters that are very serious, and we're trying really hard to address this issue of teen suicide prevention. And then in addition, education opportunity and youth engagement. Those are the things that we spend a lot of time working on at the Center for Native American Youth.
And Nikki, Senator Dorgan talks in his book about the concept of historical trauma as a cause for loss of connection to culture and tradition in Native communities. Can you talk about that as part of the solution, reconnecting with those, I won't just say cultures and traditions?
Yeah. So the term that I like to use is historical resiliency. Mm. Despite the fact that, you know, how we had been discussing Natives were the last to vote, geographic isolation on many reservations, boarding schools, the list kind of goes on. Despite all of that, we are still here. We come from a warrior people. And so being able to instill that pride and instill that resiliency in our youth leaders is a cultural teaching. And so our youth leaders get it and they understand it. And so we're able to apply that into our programming that because of this, because we are resilient, we are able to make positive change that we need in our communities. such as teen suicide prevention, such as access to education for our people. So I think if we focus more on the resiliency and the power that youth leaders have to make this change, that's going to carry us through.
Let me just tell you a story I told in the book. I've told a good many stories in the book that are inspiring, but let me tell you a story about Dakota Brown, a young man who became our champion for change, among a number of champions for change that we've selected. He was in school, in high school in California, saw his friends failing in class, going to be kicked off the football team and so on. And so he said to his best friend, who was a football star, who's going to lose his ability to play and get kicked out of school. He said, "You're as smart as I am, but he said, let me suggest something to you. I'll spend an hour a day, every day after school, to help you catch up and keep up with your studies. You know, you need to do this." And so they started an organization called NERDS, NERDS, Native Education Raising Dedicated Students. And all of a sudden it became kind of cool, and others started. And kids that were, you know, these Native American kids who were getting C's and D's and F's began getting, you know, B's and A minus and C's. And the girl that was the youngest girl in that group, NERDS, she joined when she was in eighth grade because she was a slow learner. But she thought it was pretty neat, so she joined NERDS. Well, guess what? She just graduated from high school a couple years ago with a 4.0 grade point average. So Dakota Brown started that. He took it to three other schools. This young guy, by the way, is now at Stanford. It is such a great story, and there are a good many of those stories in this book as well that can describe great successes, even as I talk about the difficulty that Tamara has had and the life that she has had.
Talking to Senator Byron Dorgan, former senator from North Dakota, and Nikki Petrie, looking at Senator Dorgan's new book, The Girl in the Photograph, The True Story of a Native American Child Lost and Found in America. Let's bring on a caller now. Tim is with us in Northeast Wisconsin. Tim, hello.
Hi. I'm not sure if you guys touched on this earlier. I had to step away from the radio for a bit. But I just wanted to comment on ICWA and some of the challenges that the Indian Child Welfare Act actually places on the system and in the challenge. We're a pre-adoptive ICWA-approved home, and we're fostering a three-year-old youth with the goal of adoption. And it's been nothing but frustrating, and just a tragic story all the way around for the family, for the child, and he's in a good spot now, and the mother pops back into the picture, and she's doing, you know, fairly good. But ICWA requires so much active effort to put that child back in that bad situation that it's just ridiculous. It's to the point where the mother was sentenced to probation, and 2 weeks later, you know, there she is, you know, in a place that she's not supposed to be with.
Tim, thank you for sharing that story. Senator Dorgan, I heard you kind of nodding along there. Can you talk about challenges in that foster care system?
I can, but I know both sides of the ICWA debate.
Sure.
I really do. And I say to that gentleman, God bless you for wanting to love a young child and adopt a child. There has been a time that created ICWA as a result of a lot of children being taken away from parents and taken away from their culture and moved hundreds of miles and thousands of miles away and prevented from being a part of that culture. ICWA was created, and I understand that it has made it more difficult for some in some cases. But ultimately, it will work if he's patient and it's the right thing. I think the process will work for him. But we also want to make certain that those young children that are taken away, and Tamara, by the way, was taken from her abusive alcoholic parents, that's not where you want a child to be. But when you do take someone away from that circumstance, we also want them to be able to be a part of and understand their culture going forward as well. So I understand both sides of that ICWA debate, but when it was enacted by a senator from South Dakota, Senator Ebrusk, it was really needed back then, and I think it's still needed, but it has made sometimes things a bit more difficult, but has also improved things as well.
Thanks for the call, Tim. We just have a few minutes left. Nikki, briefly, if there's a young Native American person listening right now, maybe seeing whatever the challenges in their local community, how would you encourage them to become active and take on a leadership role themselves?
I think the first thing I would tell them is that they are already a leader just by being present and whatever they're going through, that they deserve to be empowered, supported, and loved, and that they have everything that it takes. So find that fire that they have within them and go out and make the positive change and turn to resources like the Center for Native American Youth to be an ally and to help support and promote their work, and that they are very much loved and respected and our leaders.
And Senator Dorgan, in our last minute and a half, you've been working on these issues for a long time. Some dark stories out there, but do you feel optimistic looking back at the last couple decades?
I do. It's been a tough couple centuries, as a matter of fact, for Native Americans. But there's a lot of inspiring things happening, and I think things can and will improve. I've written a number of other books, a couple of them about economics and a couple novels and so on. This was a hard book to write, but one that I absolutely felt needed to be written, and it was published by St. Martin's Press in New York. And I hope people take a look at it and understand, when you see an injustice and know of an injustice, when you know the story, all of us have a responsibility to address it.
Senator Dorgan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
And Nikki, thanks to you for being with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
We've been talking to Byron Dorgan, former U.S. Senator and Congressman from North Dakota, and Nikki Petrie, Acting Executive Director of the Center for Native American Youth. We talked to them today about Senator Dorgan's new book. It's called The Girl in the Photograph, The True Story of a Native American Child Lost and Found in America.